By golly, that's gonna work, I think. Sorry. We have a little noise from the dining room here, but I think it won't matter too much. I think what I'll do is just shield that mic a little bit. You're William Van Wetchel? And that's the way you pronounce it.
Van Wetchel.
And Mr. Van Wetchel, where did you come from originally? I haven't had the clue. I don't know a thing about you.
Well,
all I know is that you're a charming looking gentleman with a white beard sitting here.
Most of my time at Nome.
You spent your time at Nome?
Most of it, yes. Mm-hmm.
Where did you come from originally?
Well,
where was your home?
I come here from Montana.
You're a Montanan?
Yeah.
And when did you come to Alaska the first time?
23.
In 1923. And what brought you to Alaska at that time?
I wanted to get away from people.
Well, Nome was a good place to do that. Did you know a pilot up there at Nome by the name of Bob Jacobs who flew out of there in the 40s and 50s?
Yeah.
That's my husband.
No.
Yeah. What? Were you mining at Nome?
No.
What did you do at Nome?
Hmm.
What were you doing at Nome?
Oh, building roads, airfields, so on.
I see. Well, when you came up in 23, where did you go first?
Which was Petersburg.
To Petersburg, to Southeastern.
Mm-hmm.
And then what took you there? You came up by boat?
I came up by boat.
Mm-hmm.
Brought a boat up.
You brought a boat up?
For somebody else. I brought it up.
Oh, I see. To Petersburg, for somebody.
Yeah.
So you were skippering at that time?
No, I wasn't skipper. I was breaking in the engines.
You were. What kind of a boat was that?
Well, it's a subchaser.
A subchaser? Is that right? That was a long, narrow, fast kind of boat, was it?
Yeah. 20-foot beam, 110 feet long.
My goodness. Well, I had a pretty good crew on it, 110 feet.
I put a lot of time on that. On those boats when I was in Panama.
Well, you did.
And they could do anything but turn a handspring. They were the darnest weather-wise boats I ever seen.
I don't know that I've, I really don't know what kind of a boat they are. I don't know what kind of boat. But this was in 1928. Was that in...
Oh, this is before. World War I.
World War I, I see. I see. Well, were you in the Navy then in World War I?
In the Navy.
I see. Well, tell me a little bit about that. That really sounds very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about what happened to you, how you got into the Navy and what you did.
Well, I had to do something.
You were a boy at that time, practically.
Well, not too much of a boy. and figured it was time to get in.
Yeah. Well, then you were born in the 1890s.
Yeah.
So you got into the Navy and you went to Panama on the subchasers.
Well, I went down there on a big boat, but I was designated to a subchaser when I got there.
I see.
Yeah, I was an aircraft mechanic when I went down. That's what my training called me.
It was. I see.
But I didn't like it. Too much responsibility for one man taking the lives of other people to their hands. I didn't like it.
Yes, well, it's true. So then you brought the subchaser up to Alaska with you were on the engines.
Yeah. Well, the subchaser that I brought to Alaska, we picked it up in San Francisco.
I see. And what in the world was anybody going to do with it in Alaska?
Fish, I guess.
Use it for a fishing boat. It doesn't sound as though it would really have been a good fishing boat.
I don't know.
I'm not a fisherman myself.
I'm not either. You can't prove it by me.
Anyway, so then you went to Petersburg.
I went up to Petersburg. Then I went back out again.
Well, you did?
Yeah. I didn't stay there. As soon as I get passage back way, I went back to the States.
Uh-huh. So then you, when did you come back again to Alaska then?
Well, the next time I come back was in, when was it, 97 or 98, I guess. I went direct to Nome.
On the ship?
On the boat, yeah.
I see, in the summertime. How did you happen to decide to go back to Nome? Did you have an offer of a job, or?
Get away from people.
To get away from people, that's what you said, yeah? You were looking for the wide open spaces?
Yeah.
Well, Nome was a little town then. There weren't too many people there.
No, there wasn't many. I understand Nome is coming back.
Well, I understand they're going to start that dredge up again up there. One of the,
well,
one of the big dredges.
Hmm? They got one started.
Has it started up already?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine it is making a comeback.
That's what a guy told me in here.
Well, I heard they were going to work on it this summer. I didn't know that they had gotten it. Of course, the summer's about gone. But what did you do then when you first got to Nome?
Well, I went out on a platform mine.
Who did you go to work for there?
Emil Lorraine.
Oh, yes.
And I... Well, they got an engine up there that nobody knew how to start. Well, Emil told me, he said, you start it, he said, and you run it.
What was it? An engine on what?
On a tailing starter. Well, I started the engine and got it lined up. So that was my job.
Now, what kind of a machine was it?
Tailing stacker.
A tailing stacker?
Well, that's what we called them anyway. It was a big gin pole up there and cable running up the top of it and pulling the scraper back and forth through the sump in order to get the tailings out of the way.
I see. That's a phase of the operation I really never noticed too much. The Engstroms. When I was up at Nome in the early 50s, I think he had a tailing stacker working.
I think he has.
And it was like a big bucket that
picked
the tailings up and carried it on a line over to out of the way and dumped them.
That's the way some of them are. We just drug it up.
Mm-hmm.
Stack it as high as we could, move our gin pole and go some more.
Well, it was kind of like a pulley. And it was a winch or pulley arrangement sort of thing. So you kept that motor running, that engine running?
Yep. Never had any trouble with while I was up there.
Yeah, those were the days. The Eskimos used to come in from Diomede and King Island and Siberia, too, in those days.
Well, you take Nome today. It's got a King Island village.
Yeah?
Right there in Nome.
Yeah? Well, in those days, the Siberians would still come over to trade furs in the 30s. Did you ever get over to Siberia?
No. Been inside of it.
Have you? In an airplane?
Well, an airplane and boat both.
In a skin boat?
No.
You weren't out there chasing around with the Eskimos?
I wasn't chasing Eskimos.
No, I was out in 53 hunting out of Diomede with them. But you were out there in what kind of a boat?
Oh, it is one of these small freighters.
Mm-hmm. Where were you bound for?
Well, we went a long ways around to get there, and I was headed for Attu.
For Attu? Oh. Now, how did you happen to go a long way around to get there?
Well, I got word for here and a word for there. So maybe we went from island to island, you might say.
From island to island. Well, what islands were there to...
Chain goes out there.
I see. You went south to the chain and then followed out the chain?
Well...
Were you working on the boat?
No.
You were going as a passenger?
I was going up there to do a job.
Oh, I see. It was during the war, was it?
It was during the war.
I see. Well, you weren't at Nome during the war then?
No.
You didn't stay at Nome? But...
I got back to Nome. I was on an airplane from Fairbanks to Nome when we got word that Roosevelt died.
Yes? Is that so? And then Truman became president. And you were at Nome in the latter part of the war years then?
Well, just a little, not very much of it.
Because
it didn't last long after Roosevelt died.
That's for sure. Did you ever get out to St. Lawrence Island?
Yes.
What were you doing at St. Lawrence? Were you building out there?
I went out there the first time. No, the first time I just rode as a passenger. Somebody invited me to go along.
Is that right?
To gamble.
Uh-huh.
But then when they started building a radar station there, I worked out there more than Knutson.
Oh. That was the later 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was out there one time. I flew out there, one of those things that the pilot asked me to go along, you know. Went out with a routine flight, and there was a spare seat. So that's the only time I was ever out there. But it's kind of interesting country. If you sail around there, it's interesting to see the changes that have taken place, I think. Well, Nome in the 30s was pretty active with the dredges. There were how many dredges going on there?
There's quite a few of them. But then it's coming back.
Yeah?
Then they made that law, you know, you couldn't even sell gold, you couldn't have gold. Well, that's all been taken back and...
That's right.
I hear the dredges, well, there's one that has already started. But they're working on more of them to get them going.
Yeah, I understand. Somebody was telling me up out of Wiseman that the fellows that are working on the highway are hiking over to the mines to buy gold at $300 an ounce. They're trying to get hold of it to stockpile it, I guess.
Well, they want to just say that they've got some. That's the main thing. They're working, making good money. They just go over there and get some and just let people know that they've got some.
Well, I suppose that's true. That's true.
That's a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, there's a big thrill in mining. I always enjoyed being around mining. My dad was involved in mining, and we were up at Nome. I think there's a thrill in seeing the gold come right out of the gravel. Did you ever do any mining on your own?
No, I just worked for somebody else.
How long did you work on that tailing stacker up there?
I wasn't there too long. Because then I quit up there and went down here to Anchorage.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, well, we heard on the radio that France would give up.
Oh.
Well, I said, we're going to get in it then, so might as well get down there. There's no enlistment office or anything at Nome. So I come down to Anchorage.
Is that right? So, well, now, were you able to enlist?
No.
No. So then you got into military construction.
No, I worked there at Anchorage when we was building Elmendorf.
Oh, yeah?
Built Elmendorf, and I took off, and I was even up to Jonesville on a job.
Well, what were they doing at Jonesville then? I thought that was a pretty substantial operating coal mine at that time.
It is. It was.
Mm-hmm. Were they building up there then? Were they expanding it?
No, I went up there to put in some ports. reinforced concrete, you know.
Yes.
Carpets. And I put in a couple of boiler footings and a foundation for a boiler house. That's what I was doing up there.
Well, it takes a lot of savvy to do that.
It's a lot of hard work, too.
A lot of hard work. Well, that's the sort of thing that's made Alaska hang together and, you know, function as a... Without those things, why the coal cars won't run and the fuel doesn't go to the people that have to have it. It's sort of an important part of the link.
Well, one time when I was... Well, I went to Sitka before I come here.
Oh, yeah?
And I was down there and... Oh, they sent down from home for me to come up on vacation. I went up there, and all of some of those guys was after me to go up on the North Slope.
Oh, yeah?
Told them not to do it.
It wasn't for you?
Hmm?
That wasn't for you?
No, too damn cold up there.
Boy, it is cold, but I don't think it's much colder than Nome, really.
Oh, yes.
Is it?
Nome isn't so cold as a lot of people think it is. It's a long ways up there, but it sits right there on the waterfront, you know. Of course, it's ice front in the wintertime.
Yeah?
But then it doesn't get so cold.
Did you live right in Nome?
Good share of the time.
Yeah, we had the Billy Rowe house when I was there.
Hmm?
We had rented the Billy Rowe house when I was there for a while. I think my dad rented the Billy Rowe house. My mother and I went up there. But, you know, we were kind of surprised. No, there really weren't street addresses. Either you lived in the Billy Rowe house or the Teddy Jones house or, you know, something like that. The houses were known by whoever had owned them originally.
Yeah.
And we were surprised to see Nome, all the houses on skids, Jack's under
well,
them,
you know,
so you
I
could
was
keep...
up there one time, and they darn near lost that town.
Is that right?
From water. Of course, there was a big fire there before.
Were you there during one of those big fires?
No.
No, that was in the 20s or something, they had a big fire. And then in the 30s, they had a big storm?
Well, that was a windstorm. Water came up over the town.
It was the wind that blew the water up?
Well, sure.
I didn't realize that. A big south wind?
Well, southeast.
I see.
And it took a lot of stuff out of Nome.
You were there?
I was there.
Well, what did you do?
Hmm?
What did you do?
Anything there was to do.
No, I mean during the storm. Did it affect your house where you were living?
Oh, no, I was living in a place that was about halfway underground. And it didn't really affect that at all. I was up far enough that the water didn't get to it.
You're up on the... Up in back of the town?
Yeah.
I see. So you guys came down and helped to clean up some of the mess?
I worked it through the mess, all right. Some of it was a mess.
Well, anytime there's been a lot of water over a town, there usually is. I was in the Fairbanks flood in, 67? We had that flood in Fairbanks, and that was quite a layer of mud over everything. So I suppose that beach sand came up and washed over the town a little bit.
It took a lot of buildings out of there along the beach.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They were using horses at that time up there.
There's some. Not many horses anymore. No. They've gone pretty well to machinery.
Did you have dogs? Did you use dogs?
I never used dogs.
How did you get around?
Let somebody else do it.
You took the taxi.
Well, I'll tell you, it's an awfully air-conscious country. When you want to go someplace, you go by air.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, that's true. That's true. Well, there are small landing strips all around there, aren't there?
All over.
Yeah. You just flew.
Oof.
You didn't have your own airplane?
No.
Did you ever take that railroad down to Council? Was the train running when you were there?
Council? No.
Solomon? Council? The old railroad?
Well, there's a railroad run out of Council. That went up to the mine, but didn't come down to Nome.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you'd ever gone out there to Council.
Oh, I've been out there, yes.
Mm-hmm. By the time I got to Nome Council, there was nothing left of it. It was just some empty buildings, and the railroad ran out there. The tracks were still there, but there was an engine sitting out somewhere on the line, on a siding. There wasn't too much left of it. There were just a few old buildings.
There you go, a coffee break.
Is it coffee break time? Can I get you a cup of coffee?
No. Not me.
I think I'm going to go get me a...
You go get some. I sent one of the nurses in to you to get you.
Pardon?
I sent one of the nurses in to you to get you.
No. What was she supposed to do for me?
I don't know. Talk to you, I guess.
No. I snuck a piece of apple off the table over there and got myself a cup of coffee. And
There she is. There she
is. Yeah. Well, I haven't looked for any dirty stories, but that all depends upon, you know, just the definition of that, whether it's a story of a rough trail or whatever it may have been.
Well, they aren't really dirty. It might be dirty for the guy to do it. It really isn't a dirty story, a rough trail.
Yeah, that's a different thing. But we used to go down in Nome to the, what was it, Sadie Hawkins Night at the Breakers Bar? Is that at the Breakers Bar they had Sadie Hawkins Night?
I don't know. Well, yeah, I know the Breakers.
Well, anyway, it was one of those bars. I think it was the Breakers. They had a dance floor, and...
Oh, that's one place they had. But they had dances they put in every night.
Yeah?
There was a guy that wanted it. Music was there. They had music they put in all the time. Is what they call live music.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. When the live music left, well, you'd turn on the jukebox. You get one last dance before they locked the door. Do you ever have any close calls in your flying experiences?
Not me.
You were one of these people that played it safe.
It the way the pilot said to play it.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's the way to...
He wanted to go. I was willing to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
Said we should go, I went.
That's the way to go.
I leave it to the pilot. He knows more about it than I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've worked all over Alaska, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You have really worked all over Alaska. You've done all kinds of construction work.
Oh, yeah.
You said you'd build airports.
Oh, a little small. Landing fields?
Mm-hmm.
Quite sure. We got them scattered all over.
Mm-hmm. What'd you do? Are you a cat skinner? Or?
I run cat, run grader, run loader, run shovel. I've done about all of it.
Is that right? Have you ever come to any conclusions about the permafrost? You know, the engineers are always having a trouble with the permafrost.
Well, I'll tell you. The main thing is leave it alone.
Well, that's right, isn't it? Don't mess around with it.
Don't mess with it. I've seen so many times. Places where they build a road. You skin all the timber off, and pretty soon down goes the road.
Yeah?
But it get down there, and then it can start thawing down deep. And as soon as it thaws down deep, down goes your road, because nothing but ice under there.
That's right, as soon as it absorbs the heat. It just goes down. What did you do in Montana before you went into the Navy?
When you were a farmer.
Were you? What kind of a farmer were you?
Wheat.
You were. You decided to get away from, You didn't have to go away from Montana to get away from people, really.
Well,
I think that's a bad excuse.
At the time, there was a lot of moving in there.
Is that right?
I said, well, I'll go up there where you're not moving in.
Well, that's true. They didn't really have too much mining going on either when you got up to Nome.
No, the pots were mining. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a couple of hard rock out there. Wasn't many.
Did you go back up into the Cougar Rock country, though?
Yeah, I've been up there.
What took you in there? Were you mining up there or working for a miner?
No.
Just poking around?
Looking around. Somebody wanted me to do a little chore up there, so I'd take off and do it.
Is that right? Well, now, what would you do? What would you, like, what kind of work would they have you do for them? Assessment work or something?
Mostly mechanical work.
I see. Did you do any prospecting up there?
Really.
You look like a prospector, you know. You look like that Frederick Maquetin's picture. That, you know that print? Of the prospector with his white beard, you know, but it's nicely trimmed.
No, yeah, I didn't do anything of that kind.
I've got a little bit of the miner's soul in me. I kind of like to poke around. I don't have the stamina and the know-how to do very much of it. But I've always thought that if I were a man, I would have enjoyed doing a little prospecting. But my husband says there's too much gravel mixed in with the gold. It doesn't feel to him.
You've got to move an awful lot of gravel to get a little gold.
Yeah.
Of course, now you got to move a lot of gravel to get it. But damn it, it's worth something.
Well, now that's true. It is worth something now.
Bet you.
We were up at Dawson here.
Well, there's one time, you know, you couldn't even own gold.
Mm-hmm. Well, we went up to Dawson, and they're starting up the mines all up along that.
And then the hell's going to dig that stuff out, and they can't even own it.
Yeah? Yeah? Well, if it's placer gold, they could own it, if it hadn't been retorted. But if you've got to put it with mercury, then you've got to send it off to the government. I suppose that made a lot of difference in the feeling of the miners, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're going to start up there again. Well, the company's got one dredge going already. They're going to start a couple more right before it frees up, I guess.
Well, that'll make a difference with the law that you can hold gold.
Yeah. And the mining company there is known as one of the big hiring deals.
Well, there's Mr. Corey.